This episode of the Mile High Show is, it's cold. We're out in Chino Valley, Arizona, at about 8:45 on a Tuesday morning, and I'm heading over to LNC Auto. That is an auto repair shop in Chino owned by Chance Glover, who's he's a friend of mine, a mechanic that's known in this area fairly well. He's worked for a lot of shops and recently opened up his own place here. And he's got one of my cars in there. So this will be interesting. We're going to try and quiz him on what exactly is wrong with my 02 Chevy Blazer that doesn't seem to work too well. He's had it for a little bit, trying to tear it apart and find out what's wrong with it. And I'm sitting right now in a parking lot across the street from his shop, waiting to get a call from him to let me know to come over. And I'm sitting in my other car, which is a 2000 Toyota with about 220,000 miles on it. And it's very cold in this car. It's a little trick to opening my car and getting out. It's the little handle on the driver's side busted. So you got to roll the window down and reach out and open it with the outside lever. And then a few months back, the window broke. So it's locked in the upright position. And so now to get out of the car, you got to roll down the back window, reach your arm around to the front door, pop the hatch and get out, and then roll the windows up. So if my back window ever breaks, I'm going to just have to move into my car and live in it, I think, is what I'll have to do, because I won't be able to get out. I will be limited to eating drive-through fast food and carrying around a bunch of empty Gatorade bottles. I'm pretty sure that's what I'll have to do. So anyway, in a few minutes, we'll be talking to Chance Glover of LNC Auto in Chino Valley to figure out what's wrong with my car and to maybe con him into doing some free labor and free parts in exchange for this plug on the Mile High Show. So I don't think that'll work. Yeah, I don't think we have a big enough audience to even get an oil change. Oh, well, let's go into his freezing cold garage and on this cold January morning and see how badly I broke my car. Okay, so LC Auto and Truck Repair. And nodding doesn't work. You actually have to speak into the microphone.
Yes, LC Auto and Truck Repair.
How long you been here in business?
It's been just over a year now that we've been under that business name.
Yay, happy anniversary.
And thank you.
And you, how long you been wrenching on cars?
It's going on 20 years. Off and on for the first 5 or 6 years in between other career choices and options. And then a pretty steady 15 years now.
And you had Chance Glover is who we're talking with. Chance has a reputation around town for around the Quad City area for lots of things, but we'll stick to automotive repair. But you got a reputation around here as being kind of the fix-it guy. You've worked at aside from your own shop, you've worked with several other shops in the area, and I know from talking with you and talking with some of the other guys that you've done work with that when they can't figure something out, they pick up the phone and call Chance.
When I started in this industry, I started as the low man on the totem pole, the guy changing the oil. And it was a 62-year-old man that kind of showed me the ropes and kind of explained to me that the industry is always changing, and if you can't change with it, you need to stay out of it. So from that aspect, I struggled to get current, not get ahead of it, but just get current. And through that process, I was able to learn a lot about how things work, just the inner workings of stuff.
Now, what were cars? Describe the average vehicle that you were working on when you started. What was the makeup? And what year was this?
At that particular time, let's see, in 97, I was working at a Chrysler dealership. It was a Dodge, Jeep, Eagle, Subaru dealership, you know, multiple car lines under one roof. And we were working on 87s, 88s, 89s, you know, your old Plymouth K cars.
And what year was this?
This was late 96.
So you were working on 6, 7, 8-year-old vehicles. That was the market in the area. What area was this?
This was up in Wyoming. The dealership that I worked at up there, they catered to kind of the ranch lifestyle up there. Not a big dealership by any stretch. I think maybe the sales department maybe had 50 cars on the lot. There was only 3 technicians in the building. And that's where I got my real start.
And what were you working on? What was the car? You popped the hood. What did it look like?
It was chaos.
I can't recognize under the hood when I pop a hood now. I mean, it was early
fuel injection, late carburation. It was at that point where carburation was becoming more electronic than manual, and then the early carbureted stuff. That's what we were still working on at that dealership at the time. Plus, we still had a lot of the newer, you know, the first major body style change that the Dodge truck came out with. I happened to be present and go to that new body style class. You had a broad range, about a 20-year range of automotive technology that you had to be current on to work on at this dealership. And so we saw everything from the 85, 86 Plymouth K car that leaked oil out of every conceivable place on it and ran on 3 cylinders most of the time.
I had a Reliant K station wagon. I want to say it was an 86 or an 84, 85, 86, something like that. When I got it was 90. It was my mom's old car that I kind of inherited. And I found a couple of things on that. And you may even be able to pinpoint the year. I might be off on the year. But every style K car, for a few years, used all the same parts. And then they switched it, didn't like it, and the next year switched it back. I had the one that was very unique. So when anything went wrong with it, I would pull up, oh yeah, that's easy to fix. They'd look under the hood and go, oh, except this year they stopped making this part, that part. Me and my buddy Ron, we went to visit a friend of ours at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and through the series of an evening and a course of events, we bumped into a curb and busted the A-frame. And I was, or the A arm, and I was stuck in San Luis for about 4 days while they hunted junkyards trying to find this part. And we won't get into the details on how we hit the curb, but it did involve a party on the beach, a bonfire overlooking a nuclear power plant, and burnt tennis shoes.
So it was all completely legal. Yeah. No, I've been to a few of those parties.
And then the next year, me and the guy that went to San Luis went down to L.A. in San Diego. And what I thought, the battery died. It was the alternator. And we found the only shop that would work on it on a Sunday morning. And it was the shop. The guy lived in the shop in a little loft above it. And he was this. It was Jeff Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
And he left, he worked on it and basically monkeyed it up so it would run. But we couldn't find an alternator for it. Again, because that year car, nobody had parts for anymore. So I'm not very fortunate when it comes to upkeep and maintenance of cars.
You know, there's a lot
as
of,
you know,
there's
well,
a lot of people in the same shoes as you that they don't seem to have the world's best luck when it comes to vehicles.
Now, the reason we're here at LC Auto and Truck Repair on the corner of what are we on? The Highway 89.
Corner of Highway 89, across from Walgreens.
And what is this?
Road 2 North.
2 North. Is because, one, because Chance has a wealth of knowledge for knuckleheads on how to keep their cars maintained. And two, is because my car is broke down out front as we speak. And has been here for a while. Not for any lack of trying on Chance's part, but it's a sick vehicle that needs lots of tender loving care. I'll be the first to admit, I've had a few years back, my wife and I bought a brand new truck, an 07. We got an 07. That was the first new car I got since 1988 when I got another new car, which I still own. It has just over 500,000 miles on it. And a few years ago, the third clutch on it went out, and a good friend of mine opted to repair it for me, and he still has it in pieces in his front yard. But I can't complain because he's not charged me anything for it. But other than those two new vehicles, the most I ever paid for a car, I believe, was like $800. I get the most out of my dollar when I buy a vehicle. But those two new cars, I did take very good care of. I maintained them. I made sure they were well taken care of, and we got the most use out of them, and they were maintained very good. But other than that, when I spend $400 or $500 on a car, I don't want to dump $1,200 to get the thing fixed. So I drive them into they're tools for me. They're to get me from one place to another. I'm not a guy who pampers a vehicle and makes sure all the bugs are off the windshield. They work and they get me from A to B. Now, take me out of the mix. Take me completely out of the mix. Describe to me the worst maintained car you ever had to work on, and don't say an 02 Chevy that's parked out in front of your shop.
The immediate thought that comes to mind. I was working at a shop in Prescott Valley, and I won't name any names, but he knows who he is.
Is he redhead?
No.
Oh,
no.
That's Prescott.
No. I had been working there for about a year and a half, and he's a phenomenal individual, another guy that I was able to learn a lot from. He had this customer come up from Dewey, just randomly out of the blue, in this 1995 GMC Astro minivan, just on its last legs. I mean, she was able to get it into the driveway before it died, basically. And we saw that she had a handicap placard in the window. We saw that it was one of those special assist vans for getting a wheelchair in and out. So we, you know, kindly go offer to help open the door. And as I'm grabbing the door handle, she's screaming at me not to open the door, which was half a second too late, because I pulled on the door handle and the whole door fell off. And she said, yeah, sorry, the zip ties that I used to hold the door closed also hold the door on. What I normally do is I normally get out of the driver's door and then crawl around to the back and get my wheelchair out of the back. So we got her wheelchair out for her. We got the door back on the vehicle. And then I went to go get it in the building to find out why it didn't run. And that's when she proceeded to ask me if I would check the oil. And I said, sure, when was the last time you had an oil change? She says, oh, I've never had an oil change. So I with this kind of retarded look on my face, asked her, you mean you've never had the oil changed? No, I usually put in 4 or 5 quarts of oil a month, and then I just call it good.
That's good. Mine burns so much. My little Toyota burns so much oil. It's always fresh.
Put a new filter on occasion.
I do occasionally. When the old one falls off, I screw the new one right on.
So I go and I check the oil, and on the dipstick, it's about 20 quarts over full. The engine itself was leaking oil, but not
out
at the rate, not at the rate that she was putting oil in. So she had overfilled the engine with oil, and it just couldn't run on that much oil. So we got her convinced that she needed to come back every 3,000 miles and let us do an oil change.
Oh, that sounds like a scam.
Almost. Almost. I tell you.
Would you change the air in her tires too?
No, but we did refill the blinker fluid. That one was necessary. So she came back about 3 weeks later with 3,300 miles more on her van. And again, I remembered not to open the door, brought her wheelchair around to her, and we got the vehicle up in the air, and we found probably the first time I think I've ever found a dead animal in a vehicle.
Oh, you haven't looked in the back of that blazer, have you?
It was a coyote that had been wrapped around the driveline. It was the most disgusting thing.
That's lunch.
That was the most disgusting thing. But that van is what is still today the worst maintained vehicle I've ever touched.
Now, just in general, in your years of wrenching on cars, what is the most common no-no, the most common neglected item that you see?
Most commonly, people neglect their brakes. Everybody out there knows about oil changes. They know to at least check the oil. Even the new drivers on the road, the kids right out of school, they know to check the oil. But the brakes. I was working at a place here in Chino Valley, a very reputable place, great, great staff there. We had a customer come in with a Dodge truck, and he said that his brakes had just started making noise.
He needs a louder radio.
That particular brake rotor is still on display on the wall of shame at this place that I used to work at.
And I want it back.
It had been worn completely through the rotor and into the air vent grooves. He had been driving without brakes for months at a time. And, brakes seem to be the biggest thing most people neglect.
Brakes are it, huh? Okay, we'll shift gears and go to a commercial here. What are some things, and I know we've talked before about the way you diagnose or even just evaluate a car. When somebody comes in to LC Auto, what can they expect as far as your diagnosis and your suggestion just for general maintenance? Why should they come here?
Well, my approach to the vehicle is not through the vehicle. My approach to any vehicle is through the owner of the vehicle. No two people drive the same way. For example, I go about 12,000 miles on a set of brake pads, yet some of my customers will go 100,000 miles before they wear out a set of brake pads. So I like to get to know who's driving the vehicle and how they drive. Because if they're just in around Chino Valley, the maximum speed they're going to hit is 45 miles per hour. If they have to go to Prescott, it's a bad day and they're going to find a designated driver. Those kind of vehicles, I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to upsell. I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to get every little conceivable thing fixed with it because it's not necessary. The most important thing you can do there is keep it on the road.
Yeah.
Keep it on the road safely. So you approach the vehicle through the person. And it is very important to approach the vehicle through the person because husbands and wives, even though the husband likes to think he's in charge and knows what's going on with the car, if he's not the daily driver, I don't want to speak to him. And that I've offended a few a few men because I have actually asked them to please leave. Let me talk to your wife.
Now, I'm going to cut in here. The LC Auto is, the C is for Chance, who's sitting with us talking right now. The L is for Lisa. So to completely get a round look at Chance's marital advice, we may have to do a follow-up interview with Lisa to get her input on this. But, okay, go ahead. I just wanted to drop that in.
Actually, the L in the LC Auto actually stands for Last Chance Auto Repair or Lousy Car Auto Repair. I've heard a few others, but I don't think those are radio proof, so we'll just hold off on those.
Yes. Even though this is a podcast, we keep it FCC broadcast standards, so we don't scare
There is
away
a PG
people.
Rating here, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so getting to know the actual driver, their habits, their style of driving.
And in the modern vehicles today, it's so important to find out who the daily driver is. Yeah. Because if the wife drives the minivan or if the wife drives the SUV every day and the husband drives it once a month, the husband is going to experience a lot of weird drivability concerns that are not true traditional drivability concerns. Transmissions today, the computers that control them have what's called adaptive logic. So in order for the vehicle to preserve itself for as long as possible, it does what it calls predict the driver's habits.
So it can it functions itself depending on who's driving it most?
So if the wife is driving the car the most, and the husband jumps in it to go run to the store, and he's more aggressive, well, he's going to think that transmission is shifting poorly.
Now, this whole thing sounds a little fishy. It sounds a little scary, almost that AI technology, Terminator style.
Oh, we're there.
How soon before my car can tell by the pressure being put on the driver's seat, and then it will not allow me to drive through the McDonald's drive-thru anymore?
That's actually there. All of your 2010...
That's almost like a breathalyzer in a car.
All of your 2010 and newer vehicles have what's called an occupant position detection system. They actually can tell how much you weigh, how far the seat is away from the steering wheel, and whether or not you put your purse, and I know that you don't carry a purse all the time.
It's a camera bag.
All the time.
Purse, camera bags.
But they can tell if you put your purse in the passenger seat. And they know how much that purse weighs. So soon, I mean, Toyota's come out with a car that'll parallel park itself.
Cholesterol level, and it won't let you go to KFC anymore.
There is going to be that, yeah. Blood sampling before it'll even start the engine. Maybe, a little Siri voice that pops up and says, you should walk.
Yes, you should walk.
Yeah.
We're going to make you park
exactly
300 yards away from the Baskin-Robbins front door.
Correct.
Yeah, that's why I only want to buy cars that are 1975 and older.
Yeah, the older model that doesn't have all that new AI stuff. That's smart.
We call that classic. That's a classic automobile.
Classic. That's right.
I've got a classic Chevy van
Now, I've seen that van. I have to admit that if it wasn't for the big bowl of candy, I wouldn't have gotten in. So you should,
it's nice.
Maybe a little more paint on the windows.
No, that's tinfoil.
Oh, all right. Well, good. Keeps, that way the government can't spy on you.
They can't listen through the radio because, well, there isn't one.
Speaking of governments and vehicles, it reminds me of high school shop class. I grew up in Page, Arizona. I'm an Arizona native. The high school that I went to, our principal had this, she drove this little Toyota MR2, little spider, go fast little Toyota car. And the heater core started leaking one day. So she brought it to the shop class. And I happened to be the unfortunate soul that got to take the car apart to replace the heater core. So we got the dash out of the car. And that's when we found some highly illegal drugs stuck in the vents of the dash.
Can't blame that on the previous renter.
Well, the previous owner of the car was still the principal. She'd bought it brand new. when presented,
I'm just trying to think if we got to block this one out. We might have to do some creative editing.
When presented with the evidence to the local police department, the principal had a very, very, very simple excuse that the police were able to verify. She had loaned the vehicle out to another high school student for about a week. And it was ever since then that the heater cord started having problems and a few other issues with the car. And he did turn out to be the source of the drugs.
I don't remember going to Page High School. then I don't remember a lot about high school. Okay, back on track here. Other than brakes, give us some tips. Now we're coming in, I don't know, this will be up in another week or so. We'll still be in the thick of winter here. When folks hear Arizona, they think Phoenix, Tucson, where it's you know, where it's a lot warmer. We're up, the name of the show, the Mile High Show. We are at about a mile high elevation in the Prescott area. Prescott, Chino, Dewey, Prescott Valley area, up in the mountains of Yavapai County. It gets cold here. We had a few days of snow last week. We still have some snow on the ground in certain areas of town. We get cold up here. We get some winter conditions. They don't usually last very long, but we get them nonetheless. How would you suggest folks like myself who aren't native to this area, and aren't native and used to cold weather, what do we do? What do we need to do to ensure that our vehicles are fit for the weather we face?
I'm actually going to do something a little off the wall here, Matt.
You? I don't buy it from you.
I am going to reference and quote an individual that I used to work for. His name's Bob Layton, owns Bob Complete Automotive Repair. He used to say the ABCs of automotive repair. It was his biggest thing, and it still is his biggest thing.
I know Bob, and that's because that's the only letters of
right.
the alphabet
well, yeah,
he knows.
But we didn't want to go into that. So the ABCs of automotive repair also coincide with the ABCs of automotive safety, the general use of. Your vehicle is basically a 2 to 5,000 pound speeding bullet traveling up and down the road. So the three most important things that you can have on that vehicle are a good set of tires, good set of brakes, and a good set of wiper blades. If you can't see where you're going, then you can't stop in time. And your tires, that's the only way to travel on snow and ice, as well as mud and some of these back roads that folks like to live on. If you don't have good tires, you're not going anywhere in a hurry. So those are the most important things that you can have checked out, especially in this inclement weather that we have.
Gotcha.
You know, in the rain, a quality tire store, when it's raining outside, should be able to sell a set of tires to every car that comes through the door. Wiper blades are inexpensive.
I even know how to change those.
You can go to any parts store.
Make me feel like a man changing windshield wipers.
Well, you can go to any parts store and buy them, and the counter person will usually install them for you.
Then I don't feel manly.
Well, and you know, I normally do feel manly because I stand there with my cup of coffee and give directions. Because I've graduated to the supervisory role. It's not.
Also, mark that as a note to ask the L. when I sit down with Lisa. Okay, so brakes. All right, excuse me. Tell me again.
Brakes, tires, and wiper blades.
Okay, now, so flashback a little bit to a question I asked you. I don't think we finished it up. But setting you aside from other shops, car repair shops, sad to say, often have reputations as bad or worse than car dealerships. You know, the knucklehead like myself who comes in, doesn't know anything about cars, and all of a sudden, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong, this needs to be changed. I don't know. What do I know? I could be fleeced very easily. So I tend to shop the shops. Why I'm here is because I get to know the person first, and when I trust that person, I can then trust their work. And that goes across the board. Car repair, home repair.
Anything.
Anything.
Yeah, anything.
Get to know the person behind the counter, and that will give you faith in the product they're selling or the service that they're offering. I know that. People that don't know you, you know, what are they going to believe me for? I'm some knucklehead with
I actually hope they don't believe you, because that that would ruin a reputation quick.
And then tell me, because you've explained it to me before on when you give an estimate, is that the be-all, end-all of that? Do you encourage folks to go out and shop it around? Tell me your philosophy on that.
I try to be as transparent as glass, and not stained glass either. Hmm. I like my customers to be able to, number one, understand what I just said. If I tell them, hey, you need a new IAC motor, and they look at me and go, what's that do? I'm going to go into this long, boring dissertation about what an idle air control motor really does, and then I'm going to hand them this estimate. And if the estimate seems a little high for them, I'm going to encourage them. Hey, go get a second opinion. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Go get a third or fourth. Find somebody that will beat my estimate. Because if they'll beat my estimate for the exact same job, you're saving money. Save money where you can. The downside to that is I have had people leave here, take my estimate in hand, leave here, and go to another local shop. And that local shop just right off the bat says, yeah, I'll beat it by $50. Okay, well, they're saving $50. However, that usually in the long run tends to help me, because they end up coming back because the work that got done wasn't done properly. And now, that's something I take a lot of pride in. I spend a lot more time on a vehicle than what I actually bill a customer for. Because I like to do things right. This is what I do for entertainment. This is not what I do because I'm trying to pay my bills. I just happen to get lucky and be able to pay my bills while I have fun.
Doing something you enjoy. Now, we've talked about this before. If I could take the top 10 activities that I hate doing, there's a lot of them, but the top 10... Right up in 1, 2, or 3 is working on cars. I don't like it. There are certain things I'll do because I know how. I can change my own oil. I've done brakes on some of my older cars that I've had. Some of the newer stuff just too iffy and too complicated. I got a bike as well that I like to drive around in nice weather. I'm a fair weather rider, but I won't work on the bike. I don't know anything enough about bikes, so I used another local guy that we might be sitting down and talking with at some point. But working on cars to me is nowhere near fun in the dictionary. Well, I guess it is, because there's a couple of words that start with F that come to mind when I and that I've shouted out on occasion when working on my cars. I don't like it. It's not enjoyable to me. A lot of people do, like yourself. I got a brother who's a grease monkey. He's been working on cars his whole life. They love the puzzle aspect of figuring things out and seeing, you know what I like doing with puzzles? Letting other people put them together.
There's an aspect to automotive repair that a lot of people miss. There's nothing more gratifying than seeing something you've done come to completion. And really good mechanics that do it, and I still use that word mechanic, even though it's a derogatory term now. We're supposed to be automotive technicians. We're mechanics. When we push something in the building and spend an unknown amount of time and lose an unknown amount of blood and break a few tools that were quite expensive to break. In the end, when that vehicle starts up and leaves the building under its own power, that's a very gratifying, very physically and emotionally gratifying moment for us that we become addicted to. This becomes an addiction.
Your thoughts on seeing that project come to completion, that's how I feel about a steak. I felt that way in years past about a good bottle of whiskey.
And that's
now, one of my biggest accomplishments, and this I take pride in, is in timing. And that comes in public speaking. It comes in written word. It comes in photography, which is my trade. But nowhere does perfect timing demonstrate itself better than when you run out of dip exactly with your last chip. That is an accomplishment. I've been working on that skill for years. I If it was an Olympic event, I would be a medalist, no doubt about it.
Now, they do make a very special calendar just for folks like you. I believe it's referenced under the Far Side collection. I don't think you'll ever see that on the X Games, but I have an application.
The Triple X Games?
I have an application out there right now for a professional couch tester. You know, I think that I have missed my calling as being the guy that sits on a couch and determines whether or not it would be comfortable in a home.
I'm practicing right now in LC Auto and Truck Repair on the corner of 2 North and Highway 89 in Chino Valley. There's a really small waiting room area, which I spent some time in this afternoon, today. But right now we're in
what I like to call the customer lounge.
The customer lounge. I'm sitting on a couch next to a curtain rod with some uniforms and a big green easy chair that Chance is sitting in. I get the couch, so he's got the easy chair.
And I intentionally brought this recliner in here for my customers. And I did that on purpose. In and around the Tri-Cities area, there is a variety of clientele. And there's one very specific type of client. And every shop has this person or people that they show up, they wait patiently for you to bring their vehicle in, and then they come out there and they stand right over your shoulder and they ask you every imaginable question in the world. Now, as much as I do enjoy a good conversation and as much as I enjoy explaining how automobiles work, a lot of times it's faster for me to tune the customer out and just really put hands on car. So I offer this big comfortable recliner to those specific customers. And what I've noticed is after about 15 minutes, the older generation starts to doze off. And then I can really get some work done.
Oh, did I just say something?
The younger generation tends to sit here and spin the chair around and around and around until they get dizzy. And I've noticed that cutoff is really about 42 years of age as to whether you're the older or the younger.
I haven't been younger for many years then. one of the things, now, I'm not even going to, I was thinking about re-recording it, but this morning at about 8:30, 8:45, I did the intro to this episode of the Mile High Show. It was really cold this morning. It's getting a little chilly now. It's closing. We're a little past closing time after business hours. And the reason why we didn't finish it out this morning is because Chance was pretty busy at his shop. I kind of overheard you were talking to some of your customers as I came in this morning and then we postponed it to the end of the day. 2015 so far, we're, 6 days into it? This is we're recording this on January 6th. Not a bad first week, you were saying.
This is an amazing first week. If this week will duplicate itself once a month, I should only have to work 1 week a month for the rest of the year. Every business has a bottom line that they have to make to stay open for another month. Well, I made my bottom line in today's Tuesday of this week, and Monday was my first day. So
you're passing that savings on to get to the customers that need to get their O2 Chevy Blazers fixed?
I don't know anybody with an O2 Chevy Blazer. I'd like to make that perfectly clear.
So if anybody was worried that I'm a sellout in this brand new podcast we're doing, and I'm doing episodes just to get freebies. Yes, that counts for the sandwich shop I visited today. That counts for a restaurant I did last week where I recorded at. Evidently, that does not transpire to free auto work, so I won't be driving that Blazer anytime soon.
No, that translates into free automotive advice.
The advice was
Don't drive that thing broken. That was my advice. You know, that's funny. Advice actually is the number one commodity in the automotive industry that people don't pay for. You think about attorneys. To just have a conversation with a lawyer, you have to pay them. And when you come to an automotive repair shop, you walk in and the first, usually the first words out of your mouth are, my car's doing this. What do you think? And the first thing that we do is give you advice.
See, mine's a little different. I say, my car's doing this. Can you see it from here? It's broke down the block, and yes. I had to walk in.
And we do have a few of those come by, too. But we in the automotive industry still don't charge for advice. And that's where we differ from a lot of the other professional industries. Doctors go to school for about 10 years. I go to school every year. A good attorney might go to school for 8 years and might take a refresher after 10 years of being in the business. Again, I go to school every year. And my industry changes every year.
Let's go back and talk about that a little bit. The change from the early mid 90s when you started to now, 2015. Just explain some of the differences that happen under the hood. Now, from the outside, most of us, I mean, there are gearheads out there that know cars. I'm not one of them. From the outside, yeah, body styles change. We go through certain years where every new car that comes out looks exactly the same. But for the most part, they got seats. They got four wheels. I remember the biggest change, I want to say late 70s, maybe even early 80s, when the metal bumpers disappeared. That was huge. We're out looking in the neighborhood and we see a car drive by that has no bumper. It was odd for us. Now, you can't find a metal bumper anywhere.
The biggest...
Under the hood, what are the big changes?
The biggest under the hood change has been the advancements in the fuel injection and the fuel mapping and how it decides when and where to deliver the fuel. Back in the 90s, direct injection was unheard of. You could not conceive of an engine that had a fuel injector that went directly into the cylinder and sprayed fuel directly into the cylinder. It was unheard of. Today, every new vehicle, every car company is trying to come out with their own version of direct injection. And we can thank the diesel market for that, because the diesel market is what really pushed that hot and heavy.
Now, I was watching you earlier. I was looking over his shoulders. He was wrenching on one of his customers' cars. And you hooked up your little black and red little, looked like a little pad, iPad, laptop kind of thingy.
It's a computer.
On, and touching the touch screen on that thing, you were directing things under the engine. Your tools, obviously you've got a big rolling case over there. You've got a couple of them around here with tools that I recognize. That look normal in a shop.
Every shop and every homeowner has a set of screwdrivers and a set of wrenches that they may or may not use. Every good mechanic has that same exact set. Along with that set, every good mechanic has a diagnostic scan tool. And this scan tool does a whole lot more than the AutoZone and O'Reilly's of the world do.
Those are good places to start if you've got something goofing.
I can pull a code and I can tell you the definition of that code. I can even tell you the top five reasons that code will come on and turn that check engine light on. But that scan tool also affords me the ability to follow a diagnostic flow chart of testing a circuit path. I can command and control, because cars are computerized today, I can command and control the engine speed, the transmission shift points, the cooling fan. Do I want the AC compressor to turn
Chinese
on and off? I can do all of that stuff from a handheld device, actually from my smartphone anymore. We can do that stuff with the right equipment. So
my smartphone got held back a couple of grades.
It probably should have. How dumb is your smartphone? Being able to fix a car involves as much of a basic knowledge in internal combustion engines as it does in computer sciences. I mean, 5-volt references to diodes to the ground fault indicators on household outlets. Cars today have circuit breakers built into them that will trip when that circuit goes to ground or goes to positive. And all of that stuff is computer controlled. You got to know how a computer works.
So the days of, well, I don't want to say that because there's still a lot of guys out there doing it. But for the most part, the days of a good shade tree mechanic being able to work on a 2012, 13, 14, 15 vehicle are kind of going bye-bye, huh?
No.
No.
That is a beautiful myth. The hairy homeowner today with logic, with the ability to read, and the correct tools can take apart and reassemble their vehicle in their driveway just like I can here. The only difference is,
yuck,
are they going to know what they're looking at? Are they going to know what they're putting their hands on? And are they torquing things down properly? Are they getting the alignment properly on things? For example, right now I'm in the middle of doing an engine on a Chevy Avalanche. The oil pan has to be torqued down to a very specific torque setting because it aligns the transmission to the engine properly. And if you have it set wrong, well, then you're going to end up breaking a flywheel or a flex plate in this case.
So what advice would you give folks? Because obviously, when you look at the cost of vehicles, the cost of maintaining them, you've got some major investments that families do. For some, it's they're buying their home, and right up there is a $30,000, $40,000, whatever, $1,000 new car. This is a major investment for those that choose to go that route. Even a decent, well-maintained, well-running used car is several thousand dollars for the most part.
And let's
this
look
is
at
a
that
big investment for them.
Let's take that several thousand-dollar car. Let's say a $5,000 car, and we're going to pick a Honda Accord. A $5,000 Honda Accord, a single-income family making about $35,000 a year, they don't have the money to run out and buy a new vehicle if they screw something up and it blows up that engine. So how do they approach it? Well, the smart thing to do is to find a mechanic that you trust, find a mechanic that has absolutely no reason to lie to you. That's difficult. If you have a mechanic that has no reason to lie to you, it doesn't matter if he does the job wrong. It doesn't matter if he screws up. He's going to make it right. He's going to let you know what happened, and you're still going to bring your vehicle to him. Another philosophy that was taught to me was, as a mechanic, I don't have to fix your vehicle to make you happy.
What? Explain that.
I have to treat you like a human being with respect. I have to treat you with the, I don't want to use the word kid gloves, but that's basically what it is that you want to be treated with. In the interim of me doing that, I'm going to take some time and I'm going to keep your vehicle running. I don't have to fix it correctly for you to be happy. I do have to fix it at some point in time. It is cost effective for me to fix it right the first time.
Gotcha.
To have you come back happy every time. Than it is for me to screw up the first time and the second time and have you come back maybe not as happy, but you're still satisfied. And that's where I think a lot of people miss the bar in automotive industry. They don't take the time to fix it right the first time. You can't please everybody all the time. However, if somebody leaves here and their vehicle is not fixed right, they have so much more ammunition to complain than if they leave here and their vehicle's fixed right.
And that leads into the next point I wanted to ask you about, because Chance, you're pretty active on social media. LNC has a Facebook page. You're in the process of rebuilding web page and stuff. You got some things going on. But the especially in Chino Valley, the whole area, Yavapai County in general, but specifically Chino Valley, we are a very small community, 10,000 plus. I can't walk down the street without bumping into 10 people I know. It's a very close-knit area, and then expand that out into Prescott, Prescott Valley. Same thing. In a small town area like this, a smaller community like this, as opposed to, say, Phoenix or, you know, a larger area, your reputation goes a long way. If you work on one person's car, chances are 20 people down the road are going to know that person. It's people talk, they trade ideas. The internet, social media, Twitter, Facebook has become kind of the barbershop, the coffee shop of
the water
21st
cooler.
Century. Yeah. People talk, they trade posts, they tag people on certain things. Have you seen that affect the attitude of customers, and flip side of that, the way you approach a customer when they come in, knowing that the person you talk to now, their experience can be shared within minutes with thousands, hundreds, and then thousands of people in the area? Has that changed how you approach things?
It does change how I approach things. First and foremost, I don't advertise like everybody else advertises. Number one, you can drive all the way around my building, and I do not have a sign up. There is no sign on my building.
I thought that was for the parole board.
Well, that, and I'm a little close to other businesses. Anyway, no sign on the building because I want word of mouth location. I want those people that have left here happy to tell somebody else who takes their time to find me. I am a one-man show. I don't have 5 or 6 or 9 or 12 employees, and I do that on purpose. Quality control is the reason for that. Secondly, I don't, you know, no radio and no newspaper advertising. I don't think it's necessary to draw in those customers with a 10 or 20% coupon. When they get tired of paying less money for less quality, they'll come see me. They'll find me.
So rather than doing 50 $20 oil changes a week, and before I get into that, your prices are, and I know this because I'm a cheapskate, your prices are competitive. They're well within in the range of what other shops are charging. But rather than send out a coupon and get, you know, 50 $20 oil changes every week, is it you're thinking then get 10 customers every week that you know you're going to have 5-10 years down the road, and from this car and their next car and their child's car coming in, knowing they're coming and getting the quality service?
Profitable business has always been based on the 80-20 rule.
80-20 being what?
80% of your customers are only going to be there 20% of the time. 20% of your customers are 80% of your income. I operate under a little different principle. About 70% of my customers equate to 70% of my income. They are also here 70% of the time. With return business on new problems, with different vehicles, their kids' vehicles, other family members' vehicles that they're bringing in because they want me to do the work. On top of that, I have customers driving here from Las Vegas, Nevada, from Phoenix, Arizona, from Tucson, because they broke down in the area. I worked on their vehicle. I treated them right. And now they come back to me. And I'm not talking about, hey, you know, it's time for a new transmission in this thing. I'm talking about, I have 12 customers that come over here from Las Vegas for just an oil change. They drive 3.5 hours so I can change their oil. It would save them money to do it locally, but they refuse. So how you treat your customers, how you treat their vehicles, how you approach the cost factor, all takes place in the advertising world. I know that social media will kill me in a heartbeat. It will put me out of business because social media is not just internet-based. Social media also involves text messaging, cell phones,
yeah,
face-to-face communication.
Right in their pocket.
And in this particular climate that we live in, there is a class of people here that are retired. Some of them are retired twice over that do still go to Safeway and sit down at the Starbucks and they talk. And if you make those people upset, it's a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, from my interactions over the last few years with Chance at his shop here at LC Auto, as well as some of the other shops that he has done work for and with, like I had said earlier, he's kind of known as the guy to go to when other shops can't figure out a problem or need some assistance. So his professional reputation anyway is pretty strong. We won't get into the personal aspect. You'll have to come down and witness that for yourself. Describe your shop here. Like we said, you're on the corner of Highway 89 in Chino Valley, kitty corner from the Safeway, directly across the street from the Walgreens at 2 North. What do you got here? A two-bay garage?
I actually have what's considered a classified four-bay facility.
Because the entrance on each side?
Just under 3,000 square feet. I sit on a half-acre, fully fenced property that...
with a comfy couch.
I use for some RV and motorhome storage as well. What I have in here is a collection of everything that I've ever bought automotive-based for the last 20 years.
How do they reach you?
Telephone.
What's the number? What's the public number for?
636-5550.
928-636-5550. And LC Auto and Truck Repair on Facebook. What's the website?
It's lcautorepair.com.
.com, okay.
Facebook is also LC Auto Repair. I need people to understand that I do not specialize in anything. A lot of places specialize in something.
Like tranny shops, tire shops, brake shops.
Here at LC Auto and Truck Repair, we do everything.
Oh, before we cut, you've got a sign hanging in your waiting area there about warranties.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the gist of that, because that when I read that the other day, it was new to me. It's not something that most people think of when they think about manufacturer's warranties.
Your automobile manufacturers want you to believe that if you don't take your vehicle to the dealership, then it will void the warranty. And there's several lawsuits that have proven that not to be the case. You can take your vehicle to any reputable facility and have any repair done necessary or any routine maintenance done and still maintain vehicle warranty. We do offer and work with the aftermarket or independent warranty companies that are out there, as well as insurance companies. We do body repair. We do automotive repair based off of insurance estimates. Excuse me. All of that's done because in this industry, the dealership is not the go-to place anymore. Automotive dealerships have kind of fallen to the wayside unless it is a federally mandated recall. You don't really have to go there. Your dealership is supposed to have the cutting edge technology with the best trained mechanic for that vehicle. That is not the case anymore. They might have the cutting edge technology, but they're understaffing their service bays, or they're staffing their service bays with individuals that have no experience in the industry. When you come to a place like this, when you come to any reputable independent automotive repair facility, you're usually going to find a group of people that have 20, 30, 40, 50, 120 combined years of experience working on cars. And we operate as a team. So if I run into a problem that I've never run into before, I can lean over and talk to somebody else. And you've talked about sort of me being the go-to guy. There are several shops in and around the Tri-Cities area that do still call me on a regular basis when they run into a problem that they just don't know how to work around. And that's where I do take a lot of pride. I enjoy that, because that's when the real puzzle begins, is diagnosing something that another shop has had for weeks and can't diagnose.
Good deal. We're running tight on the clock here. We want to let him get home to his family, and I need to get out of here because the car I'm driving, I don't like driving it at night because the duct tape holding the headlight on is a little loose. The snow got to it. So we will have some links to LC Auto and Truck Repair on milehighshow.com. We're going to wrap it up. Anything else you want to bring up? We good to go?
Stay safe.
We good. Above all, find out if you're not going to come here, shop around. Whatever. What you want to do is when somebody is working on your major investment and that investment is something that keeps you and your family safe, find somebody you can trust. If you're not sure where to go, talk to your friends and neighbors who find out who they trust. And in this area, most likely, you'll get pointed towards LNC Auto. So find somebody that you can believe in that is going to have the interests of you and your family and their safety at heart. And for my money, I've found that to be Chance. So check it out. LC Auto. We'll have some links on our site. We're out of here. That's the show. All right. Well, that was our show. We hope you enjoyed it. We will have some links to Chance and LC Auto and Truck Repair on our website, themilehighshow.com. And tell him Mile High Show sent you. Maybe he'll knock a couple of bucks off of that bill. Also on our website, we have a donate here button. You can click on it and go through PayPal, drop a couple of shekels into our coffers. That'll help pay for that car to get fixed. No, it won't. I won't do that. But it might go towards purchasing some merch to give away to our audience members. We are doing some live shows at various restaurants, bars, and coffee shops around the Prescott area. So look forward to those. All those will be announced on milehighshow.com. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, and today we got the approval for SoundCloud. So find us at all the usual outlets. And, of course, you can download all the episodes directly through our website on the episode link. And, Anthony, you want to tell them? Tell them where we are? Come on over. Tell them where we are.
MileHighShow.com.
Good job. That's the boss. The big honcho himself, little Anthony. Okay. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Check back and find out where we'll be next. You can come check us out live.